All right, let's see if we can get him to do it. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Are you going to sing happy birthday to our special surprise birthday person?
You got to tell me who it is first.
Bartolo Colon, 45 years old today.
Nah.
45 years old. He's pitching in the major leagues.
Send him a taco.
He's pitching in the major leagues where a lot of these major leaguers weren't even born when he was starting out in the majors.
Well, a lot of these so-called major leaguers should watch a washed-up pitcher on how to pitch, because it's pretty embarrassing when a 45-year-old guy that can't throw 90 anymore is successful in the major leagues, and you have guys that are throwing 95 that can't win.
It's pretty amazing.
So maybe half of the major league pitchers should send him birthday cards with their phone number in it. Maybe he could teach them how to do it.
All right. Now, I want you to did you see my Facebook page yesterday?
I don't think so.
Go to it. I had two different bears visited my house last night, both in between 450 and 500 pounds.
That's pretty cool.
One after the other. Unbelievable. And at 8:30 at night, Mike. Not late at night, 8:30.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we won't speak about the Bears. Where do you want to go to start off in sports?
Well, I wish the couple of Bears come here. There's a few people I'd like to throw in front of them. What looked like a good game last night that I came home for to watch, the Astros and the Indians, turned out to be a rout. Houston, like I said, these teams are starting to wake up. Houston laid a thumping on Cleveland last night, 8-2. That was the first of a four-game series. Clevinger's been pitching really well for Cleveland. These two teams are the two best pitching staffs in baseball, for starters. And it's a four-game series. It's a real good series. I hope MLB Network has the brains to cover every one of these games, because these are the kind of games that I want to see. I want to see two good teams playing against each other. So round one goes to Houston last night, 8-2. Other than that, the Mets won another game last night. They shut out Milwaukee 5-0. Take a picture of that. There's a game that Matt started that didn't give up any runs to the opponent. That's going to happen few and far between. I watched some of it. You're going to hear everybody say Matt's pitched a good game. He got away with murder. He was hanging a lot of curveballs, and they hit a lot of balls deep. They just didn't square him up and hit him right. So the Mets and Matt's get a win last night, but by no means did Matt's pitch very well, in my opinion.
Man, they beat Milwaukee. They lose to the Marlins. I mean, it's unbelievable.
They're an inconsistent team. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're not a good team. They're an inconsistent team. They're going to beat some good teams, and they're going to lose to some bad teams. There's no rhyme or reason for it. You just have to take the Mets for what they are.
All right.
The Yankees are home this weekend. The Angels come to town. They're another team that's been playing up and down. So the Yankees have three games against the Angels, and then Houston, after their series in Cleveland, they come to New York and play the Yankees the beginning of next week.
All right. National Hockey League, when does that start again?
Monday night.
Looking forward to that. Isn't Washington a more physical team and Las Vegas a better skating team, or are they both physical?
Yeah, they're both good teams. We'll see what happens. My money's on Vegas. Somewhere along the line, Washington's going to choke. This could be it.
All right.
This has to be it. There's no more steps.
All right.
And last night, Houston beat Golden State. So Golden State's down 3-2. And tonight, the Celtics look to put the death blow on Baby James.
Interesting times, and it's funny. Houston wanted that best record, so they had the home court advantage, and they're going to use that. Try to use that to their advantage. Golden State's got to win, and if they win, then they go back to Houston.
No, hopefully they won't need to, and hopefully Boston can wrap it up tonight against Cleveland. That would be nice, sending Baby James home on his home court, huh?
Yeah, it would be probably the last game he plays on his home court.
Yeah, he'll figure out somewhere he's going to go. You know, he'll figure out some team that's ready to win, and he'll step in and take the accolades for it. How many teams did Michael Jordan play for?
Twice for the Bulls.
Well, he only played for one team, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he came back twice after his baseball stint.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right.
And he didn't dictate his lineup.
No, absolutely not.
Whoever you rolled on the floor, he won with. What was the name of that center from St. John's that played for them when they won a championship?
Oh, gosh, I forget.
Can't remember, huh?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But everybody says he was surrounded by the best players.
But you take.
But you can't remember the name of that center, can you?
No, but you take him, you take Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you take a lot of the greats. They stayed with one team. They didn't move around to the best position.
No.
They hung with their team, and the team
different
was
way
built,
of life.
And the team was built around him. You know, Jordan didn't win right off the bat championships.
Nope.
People forget that.
Nope.
He stayed with the Bulls when the Bulls were just average team, and
they were lucky to make the playoffs.
And they put people around him, and he it made him a better player. Didn't make him a whiner. It made him a better player.
Nope.
All
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, you know. Maybe next year Golden State will have a guy named Baby James playing for him.
All right, yeah, Brian Woolman points out that he did play for the Wizards, but that's when he was the coach, owner. Yeah,
that's when he was washed up.
Yeah, that's when he was the owner, coach, and everything like that. And he used to do the floors and everything.
That's like saying Wayne Gretzky played for the Rangers. Yeah, in name only.
Yeah. So any horse racing before we head into the big weekend?
Yeah, two stakes races at Monmouth Park, believe it or not. I guess all the other big tracks had everything run out of Dodge with the big stakes at Churchill and Pimlico the last two weekends. But they get a couple of real horses running this weekend at Monmouth Park. The 10th race is the Boiling Springs. It's only a $75,000 race, but it has some nice three-year-old fillies with some big-name trainers coming in. The three-horse Golden Orb, this horse ran against some good horses down at Gulfstream Park over the weekend. Jose Rosario comes in to ride this horse. The 9-horse Coffee Crush has some good early speed. Haven't watched many races on the turf at Monmouth Park this year because there hasn't been many because of the rain. So don't know if it's speed favoring or it's favoring closers. There is some speed in this race, but Jimmy Toner, when he ships in, you have to pay attention to him, especially at a place like Monmouth Park. So, you know, there's a lot of A trainers in these races as opposed to the B trainers. So you have the Clement's horse with Golden Orb, the 3, Coffee Crush, the 8 with James Toner. My top pick, though, is the 10 horse, Reverse the Decision, trained by Chad Brown. This horse is coming off a real nice maiden special weight win at Aqueduct in the middle of April, and I think he should have his way with this field. But if you're going to look to make some exactas and tries, go with the 10, the 3, and the 8, and that's the 10th race at Monmouth Park tomorrow. After that race, the 12th race is the Grade 2 Monmouth Handicap. They call it the Monmouth. I don't know what to call it. There's only 7 horses in the race, but there's some pretty decent horses in here. Shug McGee, sends a horse in. Chad Brown has one in here. Actually, he has 2 in here. Christopher Clement has another one. I'm going with 2 horses in here that were supposed to run last weekend on Preakness Day at Pimlico that I liked. And if I liked them last weekend and on a tougher card at Pimlico, I'm definitely going to like them at Monmouth on Saturday. Those 2 horses are the 7, Frostmourne, and the 4, Divisadario. Divisadario switched barns, went to the Kelly Rubley barn from Bill Bradley. This horse ran in a lot of big races last year, the Manhattan, the Arlington Million, the Turf Classic at Churchill Downs. This is the first time this horse is coming out of the box this year. So even though it's a stakes race, it's a little bit of a class reprieve after the horses that this horse has been running against. And the other horse, the 7 horse trained by Christopher Clement, this horse ran 5th last time out in the Maker's Mile at Keeneland, a Grade 1. Ran some good races last year, won the Penn Mile, won the Kent, ran 4th in the Hill Prince at Belmont. So these are 2 classy horses here, and I think they should run 1-2. So in the Monmouth, which is the 12th race on Saturday, I'll go with the 4, Divisadario, and the 7, Frostmourne, in an exacta box, and whichever one has the most odds on it would be my win ticket.